Hello, Audioboo. This is Dean Duplessis. Well, it's been some time since I've last been on Audioboo, but that, I guess, is simply because I haven't had a great deal to say. As per normal, as per most of the times when I come onto Audioboo, it's normally about cricket-related issues with the odd little bit of fun in between. But goodness me, while everybody else has been glued to their television sets or possibly even been lucky enough to attend World Cup matches, I certainly have still focused fully on what is happening in the world of cricket, partly due to the fact that I'm afraid I'm not really a football follower at all, and, well, also just because I simply love cricket, and in particular the longer and most purest version and form of the game. And I truly believe that Test cricket is still very much alive and well. There are so many people now who continuously say that Test cricket is a dying form of cricket, or some even say that it's dead, and I'm afraid I tend to disagree. And I think we can bear testimony and bear witness to the fact that Test cricket is still very much alive and well. When you look at the recently concluded series between England and Sri Lanka, what a fantastic two Test match series that was. And why, oh why, ICC, was that only a two Test series? Could it be due to the fact that both teams have pretty busy schedules? Could it be that maybe a little bit of complacency set in, and because of the fact that in the past when Sri Lanka toured England, it was always pretty much one-sided cricket? You know, the Sri Lankan batsmen really struggled with the pitches that seamed and swung, well, with the seaming and swinging ball, I suppose you could say, on pitches that certainly more often than not did assist the seamers. And even the bowlers who bowled back of a length, for example, Steve Harmison and one or two others in the past, gave the Sri Lankan batsmen a very, very torrid time. But Kumar Sangakkara, after their tour of Australia a few years ago, said that Sri Lanka did need to toughen up both physically and mentally when they went on these tours to the likes of Australia, England and South Africa. And that's exactly what they did. In fact, some will say that maybe they toughened up a bit too much, because on the final day, goodness me, didn't they get stuck into Joe Root? The Sri Lankans. I don't know. There's two ways of looking at it. Maybe it was a little over the top, or maybe you could just say, listen, England obviously clearly couldn't stand the fact that somebody was basically playing their game and sledging them a little bit. I don't know. I wasn't there. I couldn't hear what was said. And I was listening to it on radio, where the stump microphones are never very good, to be honest. So I'm not going to say who was wrong or who was right. Judging by the commentators, the Sri Lankans were a little over the top, but they were all... they were all commentators, obviously, from all English commentators. So it would be a bit unfair to just assume that that was the case. But maybe they were right. So what a wonderful Test match series, or Test series, we had. And as I've already said, it's a pity it was only two of them. I think a few positives from an England point of view. Sam Robson at the top of the order showed a great deal of a good temperament in the second Test match when he scored that 127, and that's exactly why he was picked, apparently, because of his very solid and sound technique and good temperament at the top of the order. I do fear a little that top three batting order, Alistair Cook, Sam Robson, and even Gary Balance, I'm not so sure that, I'll ask the question, are they able to step up to the plate and score runs quicker if the need arises? Normally, you don't have to worry too much about that in Test cricket, but a time will come when maybe they have been set a total that is within their reach, but that they will have to score pretty quick, you know, score the runs pretty quickly. Can they do it? Can they adjust? Now, Dave Houghton, former Zimbabwe cricket captain, former Zimbabwe coach, who is very distantly related to Gary Balance, assures me that Gary Balance can do that. Now, I must admit, although Gary Balance is Zimbabwean born and bred, I haven't seen a great deal of him batting. He did play for a Zimbabwe franchise called the Midwest Rhinos, but you know, none of our cricket in Zimbabwe is obviously covered, so we didn't really see a great deal of him. But Houghton tells me that he's very strong over cow corner and mid-off and extra cover as well. So many Zimbabweans are strong in that mid-off extra cover area, and I've always wondered why that is. Anyway, so he can step up to the plate. Sam Robson, can he do it? I hope so. He seems a very likable sort of a guy, and he certainly has all the attributes of becoming a very, very good Test cricketer. Alistair Cook in the captaincy, what is going to happen there? Well, there is a bit of a problem, but who do you replace Alistair Cook with as captain? I don't think that there's anybody who at this moment in time can take over Alistair Cook's role, and I think Shane Warne should rather focus on whatever it is that he does when he's not sledging and bad-mouthing people. He does have an opinion, of course, does Shane Warne, but I think he's just taking it a little bit too far now. So that is my thoughts on that. As for the South African squad touring Sri Lanka, well, this is going to be outstanding, isn't it? Because now Sri Lanka have certainly proved that they can not only compete in Test match cricket, but win Test matches away from the subcontinent, as it was shown on Tuesday. South Africa will be touring Sri Lanka. They leave over the weekend for 3 one-day internationals and 2 Test matches. I don't know about you, but I'm looking forward to it. And I'll say again, I believe that Test cricket is still alive and well. Thanks for listening.